Good evening. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you tonight. Jeff asked me to speak in his absence, and I'm happy to do that. This morning in our Bible class, in the class upstairs, and Dan Harrison is the teacher, and Dan was talking about how important it was when you're up in front of a crowd to not forget what you're talking about and to not draw blanks, and it was a tough job, so Dan, I appreciate you not putting any pressure on me tonight. Neil did great. He was in the class this morning, so he handled it very well, so hopefully I can too. But as many of you know, I preach every now and then. I don't preach that often, but I do when I can. And in years past, years ago, when I would be preparing a lesson, I used to think to myself, I'm going to try to come up with an idea that people really haven't thought of, or maybe look at something from a specific angle that they haven't seen before. And then one day I realized, you know, that's not going to happen. I mean, there's been millions and millions of sermons preached throughout history, and Will Stanford is not going to come up with a topic that's never been talked about. So now what I try to do when I preach is to come up with an idea to help motivate or to encourage, to uplift people to do certain things that the Bible talks about, and hopefully that's what I'm going to do tonight. And I believe the desire to help others is something that God has woven into our being. Have you ever seen a little child help another little child without it really being prompted? Maybe they're trying to climb up the steps and another one will come over and help them up, or they're playing with a toy, or they have a toy or candy and they share it with the other one. They weren't taught to do that. That's in their moral fiber, I think, to do that. Well, we can teach our children to do that, but I think that we're born with that. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight is helping others. Let's see here. So what I'm going to do is talk about three times in my life when either I saw someone helping others or I tried to help others, and lessons that I learned from that. Now, some of you have heard me talk about one of these in class before, if you're in the class, so you've heard the story. And I don't want you to think that I'm talking about me helping others in a boastful way, because when I get to these examples, you're going to see that it's nothing to really boast about. But before we get into those experiences, I want to look at why we should help others. And I think we all know this, but nevertheless, I want to look at it. So the reasons we should help others, number one, is the Bible tells us to, right? So is that the only reason that we do it, though? The Bible also tells us to worship God. It tells us to pray. It tells us to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. So is that why we do those things, just because God commands us to? Well, no. We do it because not only He wants us to, but because He's done everything for us, and because we love Him. So in the same way we as parents want to see our children help others without us having to tell them to help others, God wants us to help others in the same way. Matthew 5, verse 42 says, "Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." So helping others, it isn't just a good thing to do, it's a holy thing to do. Helping others is one of the ways that God sets us apart from the world. As Christians, we're meant to be separate from the spirit of this age by living unselfish lives and instead, or by not living selfish lives and instead serving others. A couple of other passages, Proverbs 3 and Luke 3 gives us, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, we'll read that passage real quick. Proverbs 3, verses 27 through 29. "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, Go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee." That verse always reminds me of some of you older people know Ernest Tubb, who was a country music singer years and years ago. Ernest Tubb ended all his shows by saying, Be a better neighbor and you'll have better neighbors. So by us doing things for our neighbors, we're going to have better neighbors, right? All right. Second reason is because those that are helped receive something that they need. You know, we can give them something that they need. We can help them in a way that they need to be helped. We can even change people's lives by helping them. Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36, Jesus says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Jesus here is giving them examples of when someone helped someone else. And if you don't think those examples there, the person was receiving something that they needed, then we're mistaken there. Look at when Jesus ministered to the 5,000. We call that the miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, but Jesus actually did a lot more in that example, or in that passage. Several years ago, there was a show that came on, I think it was the History Channel, called The Bible. I don't know how many of you watched that show, but I only saw about 5 minutes of the whole thing. And the part I saw, it showed, you know, John the Baptist was beheaded, and then immediately it shows Jesus feeding the 5,000. So they skipped over, to, in my mind, the most important part, which was what the Bible says is when Jesus saw this crowd, he had compassion on them. And he taught them, and he healed the sick, and he did all these things. And then he fed them at the end when he had done all these other things and they were hungry, so he fed them. But he did a lot more than just feed the people there. But Jesus gave those people what they needed. I think some of them probably didn't even know what they needed at the time, yet he still gave them what they needed. Another example, whoever has two tunics is to share with one who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. So why help those people? Because they need a coat. They need something to eat, right? So that's why in that situation. The next reason why we should help others is because we benefit from it. When we help others, we receive a benefit. A recent study by UC Berkeley found that elderly people who volunteered for at least two charitable organizations compared to the group that didn't, that they were studying, the ones who volunteered had a 66% chance of living at least 5 years longer than the ones that didn't volunteer. Another study found that people who helped others in a social setting had lower blood pressure than those being helped. So we see not only spiritual benefits, but physical benefits as well from helping others. And it's the spiritual benefits that are most important, of course. Proverbs 19, verse 17 says, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." Hebrews 6, Proverbs 22 also give us examples of how we can benefit from that. And then the last reason I want to look at is because helping others glorifies God. Matthew 5, verse 16, Christ tells us, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And we could go on and on about how good works glorify God. Rodney Summers this morning made me promise not to preach until midnight, so we're gonna move on. So, examples from my life when I've seen others being helped or tried to help others. The first one is help on an airplane. So to tell this story, it was last year. I was flying, I don't remember which holiday it was, but we had a Monday holiday, and this was a Friday afternoon. So I'm flying from Dallas to Huntsville, and some of you that fly, it's the first time I've ever noticed it, but when your aisle, the aisle's between you and the other row of seats, and you're directly across from the person beside you normally, But some of the planes now, you're a little staggered. So the seat, the row beside you is actually up a little bit. And luckily, that was the plane I was flying in on this time. Because what had happened was, in the row to my right, there was a lady on the aisle. And beside her was a young man from India. And he was moving to the U.S. to go to college to study international business. And I could hear, I know this because they were talking pretty loud. We're sitting waiting, you know, to take off. And the conversation goes, and from what she could gather from him, this was Friday afternoon, and he couldn't get into the dorms until Monday. So he didn't have a place to stay from Friday night to Monday afternoon when he could get in the dorms. And when I talk about the seat being up a little bit in, you know, beside me in front, so she pulls her phone out, and luckily, again, she's got one of those big phones like people have, and she starts texting her husband. And now my PowerPoint skills are very limited, but I'm trying to make this look like a text stream. It doesn't, but hopefully you can understand. So this is the first text that she sends to her husband, I assume is who it is. Honey, is it okay if a young man from India stays at our house for the weekend? And I'm trying to not be conspicuous. You know, I'm trying to look at my, I've got my tablet watching a show, but I'm also watching her phone at the same time. And the reply comes back, what? And he doesn't have a place to stay. And I'm paraphrasing here, but this is how it went. Okay, what's going on here? Are we out of batteries? There we go. I don't think that's a good idea. I know, but he's coming over here to go to UAH, and I feel sorry for him. He can't get into the dorm until Monday afternoon. You do realize he could be scamming you, right? Yes, but I've been talking to him, and I think he's being honest. And then he says this. And then she goes to, I know, but dot, dot, dot. So everything he would say after this, I know, but dot, dot, dot. So this keeps going, and then the pilot comes on the plane and says, or comes on the loudspeaker and says, we've been delayed for about 10 minutes. And I'm like, yes, this, I want to get to see more of this. So finally, the husband says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to see about getting him in a hotel room at the Hampton Inn down the road. Let me see what I can find out. And so she agrees to that. And we have to take off before he gets back to her. So anyway, we land. She turns her phone on, and she's, you know, she's, the reason I can see it is because she's trying to turn away from him where he can't see it, but it's just, it's right. I couldn't help but look. It's right there, right? And so he says, okay, I got him a room at the Hampton Inn. You know, we'll take him to dinner one night, but, you know, he's not staying at our house. So then she tells him, okay, you know, because you don't have a place to stay, we're going to provide this hotel. And then I should have said this earlier. It was kind of a difficult communication between him. He had a very strong accent. And it turns out he had a friend here in town that he was going to stay with until he got to check into the dorm. So they didn't have to put him up for the weekend after all. That all being said, what did I learn from this exchange? The first thing I learned is there are still good people in the world. Right, people that want to help others, people that try to help others. And I don't know what religion or what this woman, how she professed her Christianity, but she was Christ-like that day because she was helping somebody that needed help, so she thought to begin with. And she was doing more than a lot of people would have done. The second thing I learned is it encouraged me. It made me want to help someone too. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 tells us, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. 1 Thessalonians tells us to edify and to encourage one another. I also learned that I could have helped too. You know, what could I have done? Well, I could have offered to help pay for the hotel, you know, part of the hotel. I could have thanked her for helping a sojourner. If you remember in the Old Testament, why did God tell His people to help sojourners? Because they were once sojourners too, right? So I could have done that. I wanted to try to help or to thank her or something, but I didn't know how to say, I've been reading your text for the last 30 minutes. So I just kept my mouth shut. I could have invited him to church. I mean, I knew he was new in town. He was going to be here at least for the weekend. I mean, Sunday before he checked into his dorm. But I didn't do that. Now, some of you would have done that. I know some of you would have done that. I didn't, but next time I get the opportunity, I'm going to try to do that. So there's a lot that we can learn from these examples. The second example was a car that had run out of gas. So I was driving down Highway 72 toward Athens, and right before you get to East Limestone Road, there's a little rise in the road. I came over that hill, and there was a car stopped on Highway 72 sitting completely still. Car beside me, so I couldn't swerve. I just had to slam on the brakes and eventually go off onto the shoulder to keep from hitting the car. And I stopped right beside the car, and I look over, and there's a lady and a little girl sitting in the car. So she rolls her window down, and I roll mine down, and she says, "I'm sorry, I'm out of gas." So I jump out of the truck and say, "Put it in neutral," and I pushed her off, at least out of the road, where we didn't both get hit. And so I said, she said, "It's a new car," and the light was on, and I didn't know how long it would go without before it ran out of gas, and I just ran out of gas. So I said, "Well, that's okay." I said, "We're going, you know, right up here to the right, a mile down the road, there's a gas station. I'll take you and we'll get some gas for your car." "Well, I don't have a gas can." "Well, that's okay, we can get one at the store." So we get there, and I pull up to the gas pumps, and I say, "Well, I've got to get gas anyway, so, you know, you want to go get the gas can, and then we'll get you some gas." So I fill my truck up. She comes back out and pumps gas, gets to the other pump and pumps gas in her gas can. And she gets in the truck, and I think, you know what? She didn't even offer to buy me any gas. I mean, I just gave the lady a ride, and I told her that I needed to get gas, and she didn't offer me any gas. So, but then I thought to myself, now, Will, that's the absolutely the wrong attitude to have. You didn't help her because you needed gas and you wanted her to buy your gas. You helped her because she needed gas and she was stranded. And matter of fact, had she offered to buy me gas, I probably would have said no anyway. So here I am getting upset because she didn't offer me something that I wouldn't have taken in the first place. So what did I learn from that one? Well, I learned that I need to have the right attitude when I'm helping somebody. As I said, I was helping her because she needed help, because God told me to help people, not because I needed something else. I need to help for the right reason. We talked about this in class this morning too. The Good Samaritan, did he help the person that had been robbed and beat up because he wanted something back? Did he help the Good Samaritan? Did the Good Samaritan help because he was expecting that guy to repay him one day or to give him something? I don't think so. He helped him because he needed help. And that's what we have to do. Helping is not about getting attention. It's not about admiration. It should be from the heart with no IOUs and no expectations. Those of you who played sports in the past, if you ever had reviewed game film after a ball game, you know, you sit and you watch the game and they stop it in certain areas. Okay, this is what you did right. This is what you did wrong. I can just see, don't want to trivialize it, but if God was watching game film, He would have said, "Now, Will, you were in the right position until right here, and here's where it all went wrong," right? So we got to make sure we have the right attitude and we have the right reason for doing things. And the last example I want to use is running into a man that was begging for money. So this was a year or two ago. Olivia and I were We're going to get some ice cream. We park in a parking lot. We're walking into the store, and a guy walks up and says, "Excuse me, I was wondering if you could help me." So I think to myself, this is a teaching moment. I can teach, you know, Olivia something here. So I pull out my wallet, and I didn't have much cash in it because I use my debit card a lot, but I gave him some money. Well, it wasn't enough. He didn't like the fact that I only gave him a little bit of money and I didn't listen to his story. He actually said that. "You didn't even give me a chance to tell you the whole story. My son's in the hospital, and that's not even enough to pay one day's copay." Well, we were miles away from the hospital. I don't know why he wasn't closer to the hospital if his son was in the hospital. But anyway, and I said, "Look, you asked me for money. I'm trying to give you some money." And then he became very irate and called me some names and cursed me and things like that. And it ended with me saying, "You'll never get a red cent out of me, and don't ever ask me for money again." So what did Olivia learn from that situation? I said it was going to be a teaching moment. She learned some things, but not what I had planned on teaching her. The first thing that hopefully she learned was that we need to help others. We've been talking about that this whole time, so I'm not going to go into much of that. The second thing was that we need to be thankful when others help us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "In everything, give thanks." The Bible doesn't have a whole lot of verses about thanking an individual, but there's a lot of passages in scriptures about being thankful. And we can relate that to being thankful when someone helps us. The third one is, don't get upset when someone isn't thankful for our help. We aren't doing it for their thanks. Have you ever said or heard someone say, "Well, see if I ever try to help that person again," because it didn't go the way you wanted it to or something? Here again, we're watching the game film, and I was okay in, you know, offering the money, but it went downhill quick. I was way out of position. I'm giving up yards and yards to the offense when that happens. And the last one is to control your temper. I'm talking to myself on that one. Turn the other cheek. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. Christ says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." Boy, I didn't do that. I didn't bless him for cursing me at that moment. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31-32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So I had to pray about that one, and I had to ask Olivia on the way back to the house. I had to tell her what I did wrong. I told her what he did wrong too, but that Daddy did wrong too. Daddy should have not acted that way. And I had to ask for forgiveness in that and pray about it. So I learned a lot from that one. I really did. Self-examination was great on that. So not everyone needs to be prompted to do good works, but some of us do. Some of us needed this, and I know some of the examples are kind of humorous, I guess, but it's a serious topic. There's a lot of good work that goes on from the people here at Jordan Park, and I commend you for it. I ask you to continue to do that. I ask you to help others and to help me help others and to help us all help others, because that's what God wants us to do. So I'm done preaching now. If there's anyone here who needs to become a Christian, the best way we can help you is to baptize you tonight. Don't wait. Come forward and do that. Or if you need the prayers of the saints, if you need to confess a public sin, then we ask that you do that as we stand and sing this song.